From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
It is time to hit it and quit it. Line up the biggest stories in sports, particularly those that interest us here in North Carolina in the Triangle. And, well, we hit it, we quit it, we move on to the next. Starting with, I'll lead off, Jesper Fast didn't finish the game last night for the Carolina Hurricanes. You literally go into that game with one goal. Maybe some minor goals. You want to see the young guys play well and on and on. But really the one goal is just stay healthy.
That's it.
I almost think that it, like, the person with that goal, the team with that goal, I have to imagine it's like 150% chance that you're going to get hurt. Like, if you go into a game thinking, like, the one thing I can't do is get hurt, your chances of getting hurt have to rise like three times.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the hockey gods.
It was a freak play, too. He got tripped.
Exactly.
He clips the post and goes sliding back first into the boards.
Almost in slow motion, like for us.
It's like, oh no.
No. He went straight to the locker room. Now, we don't know the extent of the injury. We don't know if it's day-to-day. We don't know if he's just got an owie. We don't know if it's week-to-week, month-to-month, and we won't get a lot of that information.
We have no idea.
But what we do know is, I mean, if somebody cramped last night, they would have said, go to the locker room, take your pads off.
Yeah, exactly. Go sit down.
Get ice on it. Do what you got to do. Jarvis is in the booth. What are we doing here?
The earliest that we would hear something would be tomorrow because the Canes did not practice today. They practice tomorrow at 11 o'clock. That's the earliest we would hear anything.
As soon as we know, you'll know. But it is still a bummer. And Fast, somebody that brings a lot of experience, a lot of veteran grit, and you want him around if at all possible. Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
Got him!
State of North Carolina. Y'all are winning some money right now.
Winning some money, spending some money, betting some money, all of it.
So this comes from the North Carolina Lottery Commission. They released the March Sports Wagering Activity Report. So again, sports betting became legal on March 11th. So this is from March 11th through March 31st. In the state of North Carolina, North Carolinians wagered $659 million with an additional like $308,000 on top of that. So $659,308,541 on sports events. Now, granted, that includes paid, like what people actually put into their sports betting app of choice and their own money, plus the promo wagering, like the bonus bets and things like that a lot of those apps provided. So, again, those two things combined, over $659 million. Over $659 million. Now, from those wagers, North Carolinians won $590 million, baby. Let's go. Winning some cash. So when you look at the state law places a 18% tax on gross wagering revenue generated by sports wagering activity. Gross wagering revenue is a total amount of amounts received from sports wagers, less the amounts paid as winnings before any deductions, fees, and all that kind of stuff. So the gross wagering revenue was $66 million. So off that $66.5 million, the state of North Carolina gets 18% of that. We're looking at $11.9 million of tax revenue from March 11th through March 31st. That's the number. The state of North Carolina tax revenue generated $11.9 million from March 11th through March 31st on sports wagering alone.
And I've gone through.
That's a lot of numbers to be thrown out.
It's a lot of numbers. It's a lot of money that has been gambled. A lot of money that's been won. A lot of money that's been lost. I was in Virginia when all this happened. It takes time for, certain gamblers out there, sports gamblers, mm-hmm. they're more interested in football season.
Oh, absolutely.
So they haven't even signed up yet. And all mm-hmm. that money, and maybe they would have thrown a little bit on a college basketball game if they already had the app, but they didn't get the app yet because they're not going to get it till football season. There's starting hot is very rarely where it ends, right? It goes up. So North Carolinians are showing why the lobbyists and everybody wanted sports gambling here in North Carolina.
It's going to ebb and flow. Like, we don't have a baseball team here in the state of North Carolina, a pro baseball team. I'm sure if you live in a state where there's a Major League Baseball team, you might see a little bit more during the summer. But, yeah, when football season rolls around here, whoa.
NHL,
it's going to be a massive uptick. Oh, yeah, the Stanley Cup playoffs are going to have an uptick in sports betting from that as well. So anyway, let's quit that. Let's hit this. Lot of money.
Let's jump to the cautionary tale
of sports gambling.
Jontay Porter has received a lifetime ban from the NBA after there was an investigation into suspicious bets placed on his over-unders, and the investigation revealed that he had placed bets on teams that he played on to lose.
Jontay Porter most recently playing for the Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
So this is a current NBA player. Now I guess we can say ex-NBA player.
Ex-NBA player. Michael Porter Jr.'s brother played at Missouri. So Jontay Porter got the lifetime ban. It all kind of started with there were bets placed on his unders, meaning less than, I think it was 3.5 threes, less than 4 rebounds, on his unders in games that he checked himself out of with medical reasons 3 or 4 minutes into the game. So big bet placed on him to make less than 3.5 threes. He plays 3 minutes and then says, I'm feeling sick. I can't play the rest of the game. Obviously, all those unders cash. Some of the reports say there was an $80,000 parlay that won $1.1 million parlaying unders on Jontay Porter. If you want to put a big Vegas strip style neon sign blinking, pointing at you, saying, investigate the gambling around me, that's what you need to do.
Do that.
Go put an $80,000, have anyone, literally anybody, put an $80,000 parlay on your unders. This is both the cautionary tale and, in a weird way, if you look at it from the opposite angle, a success, right? Because the cautionary tale is players, with sports gambling being so prevalent, with it being available on your phone, with the seeming ease of telling your buddy, like, hey, do it from your account so nobody will notice. This stuff is going to happen. The flip side of it is he was caught, right? There was gambling before gambling was legal. There just wasn't a government oversight, and there weren't these big money businesses that were tasked with looking for this kind of thing, this needle in the haystack. So I'm torn. I'm very sad for the NBA. This is a black mark on your permanent record that they're now going to have to deal with. But it's also a warning to everybody else, right? If you make certain bets, if you get caught, of which they can catch you, lifetime ban. If I'm the NFL, if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm coming out going, we have the same rule. We have the same rule, everybody. Exhibit A, example of, right here. We have the same rule. We stand by the NBA and their decision making, just so your players in your league are aware of what they have going on. And players, my advice to you, don't be dummies.
Yeah, be smart about it.
You're allowed to bet, I believe, in most professional leagues, you're allowed to bet on other sports. If you are somebody that is just, you're a gambler by nature and you can do so responsibly and you're gambling money that you can afford to lose and you enjoy the rush, bet on another sport. Darn sure don't bet on games that you're playing in or have any control over.
Yeah, if you want lacrosse picks, let me know. I got you.
I mean, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
You like that? You like that?
Speaking of quarterbacks, that you heard was Kirk Cousins.
I was just going to say, were we speaking
of
quarterbacks?
Yeah, we were. That was Kirk Cousins. You just heard. You like that?
I love those.
Now the Atlanta Falcons.
I love those transitions.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks.
And sometimes I catch myself throwing that out there. Like if I don't know, at one point in the show, at 4 o'clock, we were going to talk about Brian Burns, and then at 4:15, we were going to talk about Jadeveon Clowney. I'd go, like, speaking of defensive ends, but then in the prep, we went and flipped it and moved one of those segments.
Yeah.
So it's like we just did a whole talk on like Zion Williamson. We come out of break. Speaking of defensive ends, and nobody like
what
were we? Are we? Did you just call Zion Williamson a defensive end?
I mean, he probably could play it. Let's be real.
We just did a whole basketball betting thing. Speaking of quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, this is because, you know, I used the Kirk Cousins soundbite there. So mock drafts are alive and, you know, and running rampant across the interwebs. Is
mock draft season, baby.
It's mock draft season because the NFL draft.
Duck season. Rabbit season.
Mock draft season. It's NFL draft starts on Thursday next week, as many of us, we all know. So Matt Miller of ESPN talked to NFL scouts and had them basically make picks of like the top 10
guys. I love the different strains of mock.
Yeah.
Right? There were the mock drafts where it's just, this is how I think it's going to go. Then there were mock drafts where this is how I think it should go. Now it's like, here's a mock draft that was all made by ninth grade backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a mock draft where I spoke to executives. Here's a mock draft where I talked to college coaches. Here's a mock draft where I talked to, but obviously the scouts one does have a little bit more merit because they're the ones in the war room.
So an AFC scout made the pick for number two, or who they projected who they would be the number two pick for the Washington Commanders, who are looking to probably take a quarterback, and it actually had Drake May. Drake May is the better fit because of the upside that Drake May possesses, his ability to withstand pressure in the pocket, and also his deep throwing ability as well. And ironically enough, there is a video now up on ESPN.com. I was not able to pull the audio of this because it's fresh. Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback, not a lock for the Commanders at number two, question mark. It's like, huh, maybe people know some things that we don't. Again, I like to see what a scout says because these are the ones that are making the evaluations. And the fact that he says, you know what, Drake may be a better fit as opposed to Jaden Daniels, just found that interesting.
Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, I brought it up right here,
yeah,
said that what he knows of Adam Peters, who is the GM of Washington, and how he operates, he personally thinks, meaning Daniel Jeremiah personally thinks, Washington's going to draft Drake May. However, he emphasized that NFL coaches he talks to are overwhelmingly convinced they're taking Jaden Daniels. So the few little like kind of defectors are starting to leak out saying like, you know, maybe we all shouldn't have jumped on this hype train for Jaden Daniels so aggressively. Maybe the two guys that were the number one and number two pick for the last 22 months might actually end up going number one and number two. Basically, as soon as Caleb Williams and Drake May became starters in college, it was like, all right, well, you know, they're going to go number one, number two. There was talk last year, and Panther fans might want to cover your ears. There was talk last year that if either Caleb Williams or Drake May were eligible for the draft last year, they would have gone over Bryce Young. You know who was nowhere near that conversation? Jaden Daniels. So sometimes I do think like, and actually, you know, I think we all do this, right? You do your research, you come up with a decision that you really like, and then as the decision gets closer, you're tempted with like the, we could go with this new crazy idea. We could go with this.
But
new
what about this?
Well, yeah. What about it? We could go with this new crazy. And then like right before you're like, no, I did all the research. I had a decision I was comfortable with. I'm doing that. Right. It's, I don't know. I'm imagining like the high school talent show, and like for years you rehearsed some piano piece, and then as you get closer you're like, I could break out the accordion. It's like, no, you rehearse the piano piece, get up there, do what you got to do. Don't get cute on the eve of the show because you're nervous. I wouldn't be surprised if Drake May goes number two. Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
The worst
could have been part of that talent show.
Could have been.
What'd you say?
I don't know.
A'shaun Robinson.
Yes.
One of the newest defensive players for the Carolina Panthers. Interior defensive lineman, defensive tackle, big dude.
Massive individual.
Large human, carries it well. I saw a video on social media of all the players for the Panthers were walking out of like a team meeting, and head coach Dave Canales was high-fiving them all as they walked by. Very, very like peppy, upbeat coach thing. And it was like, you know, NFL player. So big dude, big dude, big. When A'shaun Robinson walked by, it was like, Godzilla. Like, it became a big dude amongst bigger dudes. He is a large human. Carries it well. Pretty darn impressive individual. And he does come with a bit of familiarity. He spoke to the media. Was this today?
It was today.
He spoke to the media today. And he was asked kind of what led him to Carolina.
I think it played a good bit of part of that, you know, comfortability, knowing the scheme, you know, coming from in LA, just being used to that. And I think that was just kind of like, you know, knowing the coaches, knowing them, knowing how I play and how and me knowing how they operate and how they want things done. I think that was very important to me. And, you know, and I know that they're honest and they're real about everything. And they want us, they want, you know, guys to be on point and honest and real about everything that goes on and being accountable and stuff. So I feel that's like the biggest key. So that was the reason why I wanted to come here.
I think it might be just like me noticing it, but it does seem like players are becoming much, much more, I don't know if it's coach loyal, but scheme loyal. Like the early to mid 2000s seemed like you chase that bag, man. Whoever's offering you the most money. Now it seems like they're being more strategic and recognizing if I've had success in a particular system, I should try to, in free agency or in a trade, end up in a similar system. If it's not with the same coach I've had success with in the past, it's somebody from the same coaching tree that learned under or learned with the coach that I've had success with.
Well, it's a couple things, because you yourself are going to have, like you said, the most success doing that, which if those stats translate into dollar signs in the long term, because he signed a 3-year contract. If he signs it, which will take him about age 32. So at age 32, still
probably
playing
one,
well,
one
putting
more
up,
grab at the bag.
He can get another contract possibly, you know, just to play a couple more years, whatever it is he decides to do. He's like, yeah, that system, I have the most success, and it's proven, and I know it, and it's there's comfortability with that.
And it's the NFL, pretty much overwhelmingly, unless your name is Kirk Cousins or Deshaun Watson, you don't end up with fully guaranteed contracts. So sometimes, you know, like as you bring up, you're thinking about, can I get the next contract? Sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's, I want to go somewhere where I play well enough to play out the length of this contract, right? If you sign a 3-year deal and you don't have success, they're immediately going like, could we move on after 1 year and not give you any more than we have to? So going to a place where you know you can play well, it does give you that chance to kind of play your way through the entirety of the contract. A'shaun Robinson is an Alabama guy. He and Bryce Young did not overlap, so they were not in Tuscaloosa at the same time, but there is that weird brotherhood. So Robinson was asked his thoughts for Bryce Young.
The record didn't reflect how his personality, you know, it didn't go the way he wanted to, but that's okay. You know, everything in this game does not go. Everyone is only one winner every year. Everyone else is losers if you look at it the right way. I mean, there's only one Super Bowl team. So I think his tangibles of having the dog in him, you know, wanting to win, wanting to do things the right way, I see it in everything, and talking to him and listening to everybody, it's dope to understand, have a quarterback, you know, that's young and willing to put all the work in to be great, to become whatever he wants to become and have the potential to become whatever he wants to become because he's willing to put the work in.
Everyone's been saying those things about Bryce Young since well before the draft. You know, if he succeeds or fails, I don't think it's going to be because of his attitude, his leadership, or anything like that, because everybody speaks glowingly of it. It's going to be about how he plays on the field. And that's how it is for most players. Let's quit that. Let's hit this.
You know, you put a person up on a pinnacle.
Maybe, speaking of people putting people up on a pinnacle, are we putting these young guns, these guys that we saw yesterday for the Carolina Hurricanes, Jackson Blake, Bradley Nadeau, Scott Morrow, these young rookies that just signed their entry-level contracts, they showed some nice flashes. Very, very small sample size. We put them up on a pinnacle, Tim?
Putting them up on a pinnacle.
Put them up on that pinnacle.
I'm going to answer your question with another question.
Okay.
Are we human?
Yes.
Then yes, we are.
Okay, I like it.
First impressions, you know, as much like judging a book by its cover. Like the reason these, like they matter is because they matter. We can't help it. They matter. Right? Don't judge a book by its cover. It's like, I know people in the publishing business spend a lot of money on those covers because they know we're going to do just that.
Exactly.
Like, a first impression matters. And they had a very, very good first impression last night. So now I expect more of them. I won't be as surprised if they, turn heads in training camp. Right? It won't be like, whoa, maybe we should consider them. They'll already be in consideration. Felix Ungersorum, another young guy in the program, in the franchise, in the system. He played really well in the preseason last year. Guess what? He's going to start a level higher next year, just in expectations. Nadeau, Morrow, Blake, because of how they played yesterday, they'll be some percentage higher heading into training camp than they would have been in expectations and level of play. Because they played pretty darn good.
Yeah. They were fun to watch.
Do we have time for one more?
Real fast.
Let's hit this. This is going to be so mean to do fast.
Yeah.
Chris Paul has been in the NBA for 19 years. He still doesn't have a ring.
Ugh.
Eliminated last night with the Warriors. I want him to bring a ring home to Carolina.
Yeah.
Wake Forest wants him to bring a ring home.
Steph Curry's brought a lot of rings to the state of North Carolina, as has Michael Jordan. Do we need more?
Wake Forest is going, yeah, but what about
yeah,
us?
But what about?
Davidson has some, sure. North Carolina has them, great.
Shout out to the Wildcats.
I'm sure Duke has some. What about Wake? They're going Tim Duncan. Fair.
Right, there you go.
Fair.
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 Very, very, very fair.
Very fair. I shouldn't have let that joke go on that long before. I mean, he's got a great first name. He's got great initials. He's got a great NBA career.